Bobby, how are you? Good. Let's open up our hymn books. Hope you all have one. We're going to start with 269. And I guess we'll do, we're trying to do all, there's four verses, and then we'll do the refrain at the end. It's kind of, we don't really use the music that's in the book, but we like to sing all the words. So let's basically be doing five verses. 269. Thank you, Renee. It's a real beautiful song. We sing it. We've been singing a lot more, and it's a song that just reminds us of so many of the promises that God has given us, and they're precious promises. And His redemption is just one of the things that He's done. He's bought us back from our slavery to sin. Well, let's start this evening with a word of prayer, and then we'll get to our message. Our God and Father, we truly do thank You. We thank You for this time, for this conference. We thank You that You allow us to have it. And we thank You so much for each one of these young people that came here. You know each one of their stories and why they're here. And we just want to come before You now. We want to dedicate ourselves to learning what You have for us over these next 3 days. And we really do want to be open to what You're trying to say to us, and how You want us to live, and how You want us to serve You. And we just pray that You would really be close to us, and we ask that You would show us exactly what You want from us. We just commit this time to You now, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to first just start out by saying, again, as I prayed, thank you so much for coming. We've been getting calls today. It's too cold. I'm not coming. Or I got too much going on. I can't make it. And I do believe that each one of you had to give up something to be here. Is that somewhat true? Maybe you had to give up some vacation time, and you chose to come here, and you'll be giving up a lot more, like your sleep, probably. I hope not. You might get a few bruises tonight on the hill. I don't know. Hope not. But y'all gave up something, and I appreciate that. And I always like to welcome people, and always like to welcome new people. Don't worry, I won't embarrass you. Try not to. But maybe I can do it reverse tonight. How about everybody who came to the conference last year? Why don't you stand up? Okay. Good. Good. And then why don't you say in unison, welcome to the conference. Here you go.
Welcome to the conference.
Great. All right, you can be seated. Good. Now, that's a real hearty. Did you feel the love in that? That was just like just robust, you know. Yeah. Okay. Well, one of my goals tonight is to show off my artwork. No, that's not my goal. This is confirming evidence why I didn't get that art scholarship. Okay. These are kind of little vignettes here. We'll start with this one. This is our theme. Okay. I want to introduce the theme tonight. And what's this person doing here? Sitting. Thank you. You're very kind. Now, how about this person? Standing. Good. And this one here. Running. Yeah, I know. I kind of messed that one up. He's walking. Okay. So, sitting, standing, and walking. We're going to have 3 days, and that's going to be the theme. And now, I want you to pay attention because I'm going to call on you. So don't be goofing off here, all right? Because like, if I'm sitting here, that's the first day, all right? I'm sitting. And there's lots of ways you can sit. And you'll find that out. And then it's standing and walking. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? These are pictures of spiritual concepts. And, you know, have you ever been confused Like, I should be out witnessing to 100 people a day. That might be walking. And I should be reading 20 verses a day. That might be sitting. And standing, I should stand up in my locker room all by myself and say John 3:16. That might be standing. But, you know, I tend to kind of focus on one or the other. I think, well, this is the Christian life here. Or this is the Christian life. Or this is the Christian life. But I think what we're going to find that the Christian life is all of these. I hope that's what we're going to find. And I think that's kind of exciting, because wouldn't you like to have a really, like, vibrant Christian life? To let your life count for something? Okay. All right, Aaron Rowe, stand up. Oh. I just said I might call on you. I never embarrass anybody, Ross. Don't worry. All right. What's our theme?
It's like something about the Christian.
Okay, that's pretty good. All right, not bad. All right, good. Let's see. Let's just move around here. I don't know. David, stand up. What's our theme this year?
Walking, standing, and running. Walking,
okay, that's pretty good. Walk the talk. Yeah, okay. Alright, no, sitting, standing, and walking. It'll be in that order. Tomorrow? What's tomorrow?
Sitting.
Perfect. Next day is going to be standing. And last day?
Walking.
Alright. Now, there's another little thing I want you to get down. And there's going to be a test on this, so pay attention. Tomorrow, we're going to come in, we're going to be here at 10:15 tomorrow. That's luxury. If you know what I mean, that's a luxury. All right, anyway, we're going to have 30 minutes of singing, and then we're going to get a 30-minute lecture. That's not very long. Then we're going to, so it's a lecture, and then we're going to break into groups and have discussion. So during the lecture, it's your job to figure out, you know, what's this guy saying, and what's God saying to me, and how do I use this? Because after the discussion, you're going to get a chance to present. And don't you find that when you have to discuss something, you might learn more about it? Like, David, did you learn more about the theme when you had to kind of discuss it?
Yeah,
maybe so. Well, let's see here. Who else we got over here? I'd like to walk around a little bit. Because I want you to understand this process. Lecture, discussion, presentation. Josiah, how you doing?
Good.
I'm not going to call you. Don't worry. Relax. Okay. Kyle, what's the process?
Lecture.
Good. And then? I know, I'm sorry. My bad. I put it to you too much. I'm sorry. There is no bad student, only bad teacher. Okay. Let's see here. Ben. Got lecture. Then what are we going to do? Discussion, right? And then, temptation is what he says. No, presentation. All right, so, you know, it's going to be a long night, folks. We got to get this down. Okay, it's not that hard. These diagrams should help you. Okay. All right, sitting, standing, and walking. And then we're going to have a lecture. And you're going to take really good notes so that you can discuss. And then you'll have the opportunity to present. And presenting is the best part. That's when you really get it. All right. Now I got another test for you. I'm going to move to another picture. I want your honest opinion. If a man, say, three times your age, was on his way to church on a snowy morning, and just for the fun of it, he thought, I'm going to try one of those Starsky and Hutch moves, you know, where you do the old 180, you know, and pivot into your parking place. Would you think that man of that age is mature? Now, honestly, raise your hand if you think he's mature. A couple. All right, how many think he needs to grow up? All right, good. Well, you know, there's a certain man that just did that recently. And his truck ended up in a snowbank right before we're ready to have our morning meeting. And so, just so you know, that guy was me. So I don't want you to think like I got this Christian thing down, all right? I want to get that straight, because I don't. But it was kind of a, and I knew it was going to be, as soon as I did it, I knew something good would come out of it. Thankfully, is Dustin here? He's probably, he may not be here, he probably had to work. But anyway, Dustin got a, you know, it was good that God told him to buy a truck so many years ago, because he had a use for it now. I happened to have a tow strap, he had the truck. Everybody needs a Savior. Okay. And so I'm thankful for that. You know what? This is kind of a picture, a little bit, of the church. Just a little bit. You know, I feel like we got lots of babes in Christ. This is a babe. All right? And you know, I want you to know I like babies. So don't send me any emails about I don't like babies. I do like babies. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Babies take up a lot of resources. Lots of resources. And it's a lot of work. And, you know, it's so exciting to have kids that are older now. Kids that can, you know, feed themselves. That's nice. They really know how to feed themselves, let me tell you. And kids that can drive. You know, that's a great thing. I don't have to do all the driving now, but I might have to get a new back wall for my garage someday, but that's okay. That's my boy, chip off the old block. Drives just like his daddy. Okay? So, but you know, what we really need to do as believers is we need to get out of the nursery and get into the infantry. And that's where we get back to here. How do you do that? How do you be a soldier of Christ? How do you get out of the nursery? Well, stay tuned. It's coming. And I think you're going to like it. Now, at this point, I want to say something. And so far, I've really been speaking to those of you who are believers. I'm going to speak to those who are unbelievers at the end. But right now, I'm talking to those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're part of this, what I call the church, every one of you. And I want to say something specific to those of you who have been raised in a Christian home. I was not raised in a Christian home. And, you know, sometimes when you're raised in a Christian home, I find that, you know, you'd like one of those, you know, I guess you'd call it extravagant testimonies, like, you know, I was addicted to sugar and I gained 800 pounds in a month, you know. And I became a Christian and I slimmed down to 150 or some crazy story. You know, I kind of have a testimony a little bit like that. And people think, oh man, that's cool. You know what I want to say to you who got raised in a Christian home? You've got something. You've got something. Here's a timeline of my life. Nothing from 0 to 13. 13 to 18, wasted. 18 to 20, poison. Finally got saved. That means I became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Had more troubles. Around 30, I'm starting to maybe be even just a little bit past a babe. Look at that. 17 years, wasted. wasted. You know, 5 years making it worse, 10 years trying to fix it. And so I just want to encourage you. Yeah, you've probably got a whole list of things your parents did wrong. That's fine. Hope you'll keep it on. Hope you'll write them down and you can do better when you raise your kids. I hope you will. But you know what? Don't waste that Christian upbringing. Don't waste it. You don't have to make all these dumb mistakes. You've got answers for kids your age that are asking answers. You know enough. You know enough. I mean, even though, you know, this guy taking a few chances, making some mistakes, go ahead. You know enough about your Bible right now to take some chances. Tell someone. Yeah, they might laugh at you. But, you know, you're so far ahead of where I was. That's a good thing. And I just would encourage you on that. Don't despise your Christian upbringing. You've got something extremely special and valuable. And I just encourage you to use it. I really would. Let's open up. I've got another test. So turn to your Bibles to 2 Peter. It's towards the back of your Bible. I've got another test we're going to take tonight. And you can take this anytime you want. Before I get started, if you need something to write with, I got a few pens here. Yeah, sure. You should have paper in your notebook. Good. I'm out. Okay. I'm just going to read a few verses here, and then we'll have a test. Okay? Everybody going to take this test? I took it earlier this week, and I didn't do so hot. Anyway, there's a lot in here, but I'm just going to try to condense it down here to, I'm in 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to begin with verse 4. Peter the Apostle is writing these words, and I'll just pick it up in verse 4. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine, that's a godly nature, divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Okay, we're talking to believers here. This isn't about becoming a believer. This says that you are one. So this is who this message is to. And that's important. And there are so many promises. We could start tonight, and I don't think we could list all the promises. They're so thick in the Bible. There's just so many of them, so many promises. But now here's where we're going to have the test. Verse 5. Now for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. I'm going to stop right there. Because I have a feeling those last few verses kind of were like mush. I've kind of rewritten some of the key points. And I want you to give yourself a rating on each one of these categories. I'm going to go through them and explain them. And then you can just write down a number. You don't have to, I just want you to write down a number. Our numbers go from 1 to 10. So I'm going to take this first one, spiritual courage. That's, I think in my translation it said moral excellence. And that could also, moral excellence could also be known as, we're going to pick that up in godliness. So I kind of go with this, spiritual courage. In other words, an example of spiritual courage is when David took on the giant all by himself, pretty much. So, if you're a David, that'd be a 10. And a 1, we'll just say, is like a jellyfish. Just for, you know, contrast, okay? So give yourself a number. Are you willing to stand up for your faith? Maybe you do it in a quiet way. It doesn't have to be in a bold way, but you may just, there's lots of ways for standing up for your faith. Okay, let's get that straight. Okay, next one is spiritual knowledge. And I hope I don't embarrass you, but like a 10 would be like Paul Cantor. Sorry, Paul. Or Solomon. How about Solomon? Okay. And a 1 would be me at age 13. That's a 1. So give yourself a rating. How well do you know the truth? How much of it do you know? And this isn't just head knowledge. This really implies in this verse, it's an experiential knowledge that you've experienced the truth of God's word in your life. You've experienced what it's like to love your neighbor. You've experienced it. So it's not just head knowledge, it's doing it. Okay, self-control. I'm going to define this as putting your will under the control of the Holy Spirit. I hope that's not too confusing. In other words, we all have kind of our independent, stubborn will that, I want to do what I want to do. This is more like the Spirit is able to control me. And a 10 would be, say, Joseph. Joseph, when he says no to Potiphar's wife. That's self-control, perhaps. And a 1 would be Victor video head game, 24-hour day guy, no control. Sorry, you video guys, sorry. Someone like that has no control. Can't control anything in his life. Okay, and the next one is perseverance. Perseverance. Probably a 10 would be, say, Job. Maybe that's a good one if you know who Job is. And a 1 would be someone that just is... A 1 would be me last night. I was ready to give up writing this talk a little bit. That's probably a 1. Perseverance. We go to these retreats and it's kind of a mountaintop experience for you sometimes. But, a lot of Christian life is lived in the valley. The same old daily stuff. That's what we're talking about here. Godliness. Godliness. How much do you look like the Father? Do people know that you're His child because you look like Him? That would be, say, Daniel. Daniel would be a 10 on that one. Brotherly love. By this, they will know you're my disciples, that you love one another. We could say Jonathan had this or the disciples had this. How well do you love other Christians? And then finally, divine love. How well do you love like the whole of mankind or those people that are so unlovable in your mind? Are you willing to pray for someone that's really hurt you? Are you willing to pray for someone that's really done something bad against you and love them? Well, your scores are your own information. But maybe God has shown you one thing. And I wouldn't try to work on all these at once. But maybe there's one on your list that... maybe that's why you're here, to start to work on that. Or maybe God's going to show you something that's a real glaring thing in your life right now that you need to change. He wants you to change. And let's just see what this test means. Let's go to verse 8 here. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus. So in other words, you may not arrive at a 10 all the time, but are you making progress? Are you making a little bit of progress? If these qualities are increasing, you're useful to the Lord Jesus. So that's a test you can take again and again, and I hope you will. And I hope that those of you who were here last year, just make a little mental note to self right now. Is your spiritual life more vibrant today than it was a year ago? Think about that. Okay, let's just have a little review. Our theme. Who's got our theme? Who can say it? Raise your hand if you think you can say it. Ross.
Sit, stand, walk.
Great. Sit, stand, walk. That's great. And what's the method? This was a hard one. Eli, you want to try it? That's right. Lecture, discussion, and presentation. Okay, and what was last year's theme? I thought so. Exactly. I'll tell you tomorrow. All right. I hope you never forget this one, because this one really is so practical. I think that's why I like it. It's so practical. And you're going to enjoy that, I believe. Now, I do just have one bit of scripture I want to do before we leave here, or before we end this. Let's turn to Luke. Luke chapter 5. You know, maybe you've been sitting there all night thinking, what in the world is this guy talking about? Maybe you've never come to that point where you know that you're a real believer, a real Christian. Maybe you don't know that about yourself. If you'd asked me before age 20, are you a Christian? I said, well, I think I am. Is that really a convincing answer to you? Probably not. Well, I thought we should just talk about that a little bit. In Luke, we have a fishing story, and the disciples of Jesus had been out fishing, and they were kind of done. They hadn't caught anything, and I think I'll just pick it up verse 4. Jesus had been speaking to the people, and he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets." Now, there's a lot being said here. Note how Simon, a fisherman, is addressing Jesus, the carpenter. He's kind of saying, there's not any fish. We tried, and we didn't find any. But notice his obedience. I'll do what you say. When they had done this, verse 6, when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. Now that's a lot of fish. But when Simon Peter saw that, in other words, he saw the fish, I think is what they're saying here, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Isn't that amazing? When you get into the presence of the Lord Jesus, and you're not a believer, a true believer, you start feeling how dirty you really are. That's the way I was here at age 20. I had done things against God. And I feel like that's what's happening here. We'll read verse 9. "For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of the fish which they had taken. And so also were James, John, sons of Zebedee who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men." In other words, bringing men to the Lord, to the Master. And I just would invite you tonight, if you are not a real believer, faith, if your faith is not in the Lord Jesus Christ, tonight is the night that you can change that. You can get in, you can come into His presence in the same way and do just what Peter's doing here. Acknowledge who He is. He is the Master of the universe. And He does indeed want to, and has already paid that penalty for your sin. And you can do that tonight. Well, I just want to close with a story. It's a true story. And it's a story about obedience. You know, young people, I've talked about a lot of stuff tonight, and one of the things I want to come back to is your Christian heritage, your Christian upbringing. Because the reason I'm here today, I believe, the reason I became a believer is because a 19-year-old girl had enough sense not to date a Christian. What's that? I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, Neil. Good deal. Neil is listening. Okay, let me start again. First of all, the guy is not me. It's my friend Charlie. Charlie, who was, you know, not the greatest looking guy around. Let's just put it that way. And me, I was his uglier friend, okay? So that's just kind of setting the stage. So we'll never know if this girl was obedient or just needed a good reason. I don't know. But I believe she was obedient. And he really wanted to ask her out, and so he did. And she told him, "I don't go out with anyone who's not a Christian." He said, "Well," he named off his church, and I won't name it right now. I don't want to offend anybody, but he named it off. And she knew. That just confirmed it. He wasn't a Christian. He knew. She knew. Well, that bugged him. And so he sought a friend. I knew him. I didn't know him that well, but a friend we were living in a fraternity house, and his friend, Carrie, led him to the Lord. And then Charlie started asking me some questions that I couldn't answer. And the short story is I became a believer. And what's so amazing about that is he never got a date with this girl. That was irrelevant. But that girl's one answer changed the course of Charlie's life, and that changed the course of my life. And that was 30 years ago. Well, maybe 32 now, getting on there. But anyway, that was a long time ago. And it's just like a little change in your rudder makes a big difference in where you end up. And that's God's story in my life. And that's a story you can have. You don't even know what your one small act of obedience today could do to a fellow classmate or someone your own age. You know, don't be afraid of going out and talking to people who aren't saved, people who are not Christians. Don't be afraid of that. It's good for you. Yeah, you won't be able to answer all their questions. And that might make you feel like a fool sometimes. But don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of putting your truck in the ditch for a change. God will get you out. He's protecting you. He's watching over you. You got enough. You got enough to do it. It's time we get on the field and play the game. Well, let's just close in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we are truly, truly thankful that You would send Your Son to come and bring us back from that awful slavery of sin that entangled us so deeply. We're new people now, and we thank You for that. Lord, we pray for those right now in this room that haven't made that decision, We pray you would gently but firmly tug on their hearts and show them in your word what they need to do. We would ask that you would guide us in this conference. We pray that you would show us what we need to learn. Help us to do that. We need your help. We're distracted and we're far from you and we've got things going in our heads right now. We just pray that you would help us to focus on you and to really drink in the teaching that you've prepared for us. We do commit this night. We pray you'd watch over our safety. We just pray you'd watch over our fellowship. We just would ask for a blessing upon each one of these young people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, just stay seated. I'm going to have Brian. He's going to give us a few announcements, and then I'll have a few instructions, I'm sure.